Welcome to Gemara Markings. Shiur is Shabbos Daf Pei Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's Shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur 6 lines from the top of Daf Pei Zayin. It's important to point out that we are essentially in the middle of a discussion. The Gemara opens up by raising a question on that which we learned at the end of our previous shiur. So, just to recap a few points without getting into all of the details, for that, of course, you can always go back and listen to the shiur of Daf Pei Vav. We saw a machlokes tanoim, Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. Their machlokes dealt with the date of Matan Torah. We've indicated on the in the margin of the Gemara the highlights, the points that we want to highlight, because these highlighted points will be the focus of the questions that the Gemara will raise as we go along. And also, it's also very important to point out that as we deal with Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, we should bear in mind that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan, as were presented by Rava, is the focus of our discussion, so that when we raise questions, we're in effect raising questions on the way Rava presented those Tanoim. So Rabbi Yossi had said that the Torah was given on Zion Sivan. You can contrast that with the Rabbanan, who said that the Torah was given on Vav Sivan, a day earlier. Rabbi Yossi, and we're making reference to our note in the margin, Rabbi Yossi mentions or holds that there were 3 days of Prisha where the husbands and wives were separated from one another, so that when the Torah was given on the 4th day, namely after 3 days of separation, even if she would be poletus shichvas zera, she would not be temea as a result. Another point is that, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rosh Chodesh came out on a Sunday. So that if Rosh Chodesh came out on a Sunday, Shabbos, when the Torah was given, and everyone agrees with that, as far as Rava presented the matter at the end of Pei Vav, so if you hold that Rosh Chodesh was on Yom Aleph, which is on Sunday, Shabbos would then be Zayin Sivan, as we mentioned. That's Rabbi Yossi's opinion as to when the Torah was given. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, are of the opinion that the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan. And the Rabbanan also hold that there were 2 Yemei Prisha. Husbands and wives were separated for 2 days, and on the 3rd day the Torah was given, and their shita is that Shichva Zera is not mitama in a poletus Shichva Zera after if she's poletus on the 3rd day. That, of course, was the focus of our previous shiur. Another point that the Rabbanan make is that Rosh Chodesh came out on Monday. Of course, we're talking about Rosh Chodesh Sivan when the Torah was given. With all of that background information, we can prepare ourselves to proceed in the Gemara, but before learning the Gemara text, we have a Mivneh note in the other margin. You see houses in 2 directions. With the house form facing upwards, with the point facing upwards, those are questions, kushyos al Rabbi Yossi. With the house form facing downwards, with the point see downwards, kushyos al Rabbanan. We now turn to the Gemara. 6 lines from the top of Pei Zayin. Meisvei, v'kidashtem hayoim u'mochor. That the instruction to Klal Yisrael was to sanctify themselves today and tomorrow, which would indicate 2 days of separation, husbands from wives, so as to avoid any intimacy. Well, kashya l'Rabbi Yossi. You can always make reference to the note on the side if it's hard to remember the shitos. And it could be at times hard, being that you have 2 shitas, and then there's a minimum of 3 points in each shita. So you have 6 variables running around your head as you go through the Gemara. So make reference to the note. Why is this a kasha in Rabbi Yossi? Because we indicate here 2 days of Prisha, and Rabbi Yossi said 3 days of Prisha. The Gemara continues, Omar loch Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi will answer, Yoim echad hoisif Moshe midaito. It's true that when you look at the pasuk itself, the Almighty commanded 2 days of Prisha, but Moshe Rabbeinu took the initiative and added one on his own. So there would be a total of 3 days of Prisha. Desanya, and a Tanaic source bears this out, Shloshet Dvarim also Moshe Midaito. There were three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own. It means he, by his taking the initiative, V'hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imo, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu's decision, his conclusion. Number one, Hoisif Yoim Echad Midaito. Now we dashed underline that because that is what's relevant in this source to our discussion. He added 1 day of Prisha on his own. Namely, though the Torah didn't make a reference to it, he concluded that there should be an added day. And later the Gemara will explain, we'll give a background. Number two, Upiresh Min Ho'isha, Moshe Rabbeinu separated from his wife completely after the giving of the Torah, though everyone else, after the giving of the Torah, went back to their wives. Moshe Rabbeinu remained separated. Number three, Veshiber es haluchos, or Veshavar es haluchos, and he smashed the Ten Commandments, the tablets on which the Ten Commandments were etched out. The Gemara here, as you'll notice, we have a numbering system, Roman numerals, and on the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei Mivneh heading, the ones 1 through 3 represent the Shloish Dvarim, She'osa Moshe Midaita, V'hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imo. The Gemara will explain each one of them. The first one of them is directly related to our sugya. Hence, you can see for the next few lines of the Gemara will be focusing on Roman numeral number 1. Later, after that, when you get to Roman numeral number 2, you will notice we have a bracket that lasts quite a few lines. We have a bracket length indicator, the vertical dashed dotted line that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Follow that line till the end. You'll notice on that line, the brackets are closed, so that all the information contained in the brackets are explanations of points 2 and 3 in the Tanaic source of things that Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own, but they are not directly related. They're not relevant to our sugya. Hence, they're in brackets, and initially you can skip the bracketed section, and you'll notice the house form that appears right after them, which brings you back into the questions and answers regarding Shitas Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon. All that having been said, we continue in the Gemara. Hoisif Yom Echad Midaito, you notice where we've underlined that, and a Roman numeral number 1. My Dorish, what did Moshe Rabbeinu conclude, or how did he learn, how did he come to his conclusion? That's the question of My Dorish. How did he come to his conclusion that we should add a day of that they had to add a day of Prisha? So the Gemara answers, Hayom Umachar. The Pasuk with the Almighty has said, V'kidashtem Hayom Umachar. You shall sanctify yourselves through separation today and tomorrow. Hayom Kimachar. Moshe Rabbeinu figured that since the 2 days are mentioned, Hayom Umachar, they're to be compared to one another. Ma Lamochar Leilo Imo. Just like Lamochar is a full 24-hour period of time, Af Hayoim Leilo Imo. So too, the today in the pasuk ought to be a 24-hour period with that's a day and the night together with it. The Leilo Deho Idna Nafka Lei. But today, namely when Moshe Rabbeinu was given the instruction of Prisha, namely Wednesday, which this is a point that we learned in our previous Shiur on Daf Peivav. Wednesday, he was given the instructions of Prisha in the morning. In other words, the night that precedes the morning, the night which ushers in Wednesday, already went by. There was no Prisha then because he only received the instructions of Prisha on Wednesday morning. So the Laila Dohidna, the night of Wednesday, precedes now, meaning the daytime of Wednesday, Nafkale is already gone by. So that to suggest that Wednesday would count as one of the pre-Shah days just doesn't figure because of the Hekish we had Hayom Umochar, that just like Mochar is a full 24 hours, it's a night plus a day, so to the Hayom referred to in that Pasuk would have to be a 24-hour period of time. So, therefore, Shema Mino, Tre Yomi, there must be 2 days of separation, Labar Mehoidna, besides today. So that would be a reference to Thursday and Friday would be the days of Prisha, besides today, the balance of today, meaning the balance of Wednesday. Umenolon Dehiskel Kosh Baruch HaYodo. From where do we know that the Kodesh Baruch Hu in effect agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu? In other words, let's just go over the point again. If you look at things very superficially, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says there shall be separation Hayom Umachar, today and tomorrow. So if you take again superficially, today is Wednesday. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed. So today, Wednesday, and Thursday would be Prisha. Following that, you would expect Matan Torah. You would expect the Torah to be given on Friday. Was the Torah given on Friday? No. And that's what the Gemara says. And how do we know the Kodesh Baruch Hu agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu's calculation? The Lo Sharya Shechina Ad Safra de Shabbata. The divine presence did not settle upon Mount Sinai until Shabbos, Saturday, Tzafra, morning hours. That means that the today and tomorrow had to actually include Thursday and Friday as Prisha days besides Wednesday. And only after that, the Torah was given. That is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu calculated, and you see the Kodesh Baruch Hu by not presenting the Torah, not coming down onto Mount Sinai until Saturday, that shows that Kodesh Baruch Hu agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu's calculation. We mentioned earlier, the bracketed section gets off the topic of the Machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon, and we have a note where the star appears in the margin. We've written, Sograim L'shem Dilug, these brackets indicate to a skipping, Kedei Lishmor Aretzef Ha'oichochois Shelasugyo, in order to maintain a continuity concerning the different proofs in this sugya b'machlokas Rabbi Yossi Rabbanon. And all those, when we mention hochochos, we're referring to the sections introduced with the house shape. B'soichom, within the brackets, ha'gemora mityacheses l'shnei dvorim ha'nosafim sh'osa Moshe midaito. The two added things, and the second and third things that Moshe added or concluded on his own. He did on his own volition. Now that the structure of the Gemara is fairly clear, we can go into the bracketed section and not be confused as a result. So the Gemara continues where the underlined Roman numeral number 2 section is. Upiresh min ha'isha. We said that Moshe Rabbeinu remained separate from his wife when the rest of Klal Yisrael, after the giving of the Torah, rejoined their wives. My Dorish, how did Moshe Rabbeinu reach his conclusion? After all, a man is expected to be with his wife, not separated from her. So what was the method or the means of Moshe Rabbeinu reaching a conclusion, which once again on the surface would seem to be something that's wrong to do, wrong to practice? So how did he come to his conclusion? Answer, Nosa Kavachomer Beatzmo. He used Kalvachomer logic on his own to arrive at this conclusion. At this point, the Gemara presents the Kalvachomer. It takes a few lines, and that's why you see a long marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, the abbreviated expression Kalvachomer that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines describe or present the Kalvachomer. So what was the Kalvachomer that Moshe Rabbeinu learned? Omar, he said, Uma Yisrael shelo dibro shchino imoem elo shoachas. Mind you, the Jewish people who had direct communication with the Shechina, with the divine presence, with the Almighty, just a moment the Kodesh Baruch Hu presented the beginning of the Aseres HaDibros to them. So that's what's called Sho'achas. And the Kova Lohen Zman. A second point is, they knew when the Divine Presence would communicate with them. And yet, even though everything was known, and it was all for a short amount of time, Omra Torah v'yu nechoinim v'chule al tikshu, and Pasuk says, al tikshu Elisha. The Pasuk says that they shall prepare themselves and not be with their wives. So that even though, as we say, it was they knew ahead of time when the Divine Presence would communicate with them, nevertheless they took these measures to heighten their level of purity because of the communication, the direct communication with the Divine Presence, which demands a high level of sanctity. Ani, says Moshe Rabbeinu, I, Omra Torah, Ani, Shekol, Shah of Shah, Shechina Medaberes Imi. I, as Moshe, as everyone may very well know, Moshe Rabbeinu was in constant contact with the Divine Presence. That at all times, and oftentimes, the Divine Presence communicates with Moshe. V'eino koveya lizman, and it doesn't give a fixed time when. In other words, the Almighty doesn't set a fixed time when to speak with Moshe Rabbeinu. The Kodesh Baruch Hu can appear suddenly to Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, alachas kama v'kama, all the more so, I need to exercise distance from my wife. Where do we see a reference to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to the Almighty agreeing with Moshe Rabbeinu's conclusion? The Pasuk says, Shuvu lochem lo lechem. Uksiv basrei. The Pasuk, after the giving of the Torah, says there was an instruction to everyone to go back to the olechem, literally their tents, but it's a reference to their wives. Uksiv basrei, and then following that it says, V'ata po amori modi, but you shall remain here with me. The Istamri, others bring proof from this, from the Pasuk that says, Pe el pe adaber bo. The Marsha explains that this Pasuk is from the Almighty responding to the criticism that was levied against Moshe by Miriam, in that he separated himself from his wife when Moshe Rabbeinu was a prophet, but they too were prophets and remained and rejoined their respective spouses. So that was the criticism that was levied against Moshe Rabbeinu. The Almighty intervened on behalf of Moshe Rabbeinu and said, but he is different. I am always in touch with him. So that you see from that give and take, and especially the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu is defending Moshe Rabbeinu's position, that Moshe Rabbeinu is not like the others and must remain separate from his wife. Because I, says the Almighty, am always speaking with him. The third point, Shavar Zeluchos, Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the tablets. My Dorish, what did Moshe Rabbeinu darshan in order to come to his conclusion? Omar, he reasoned as follows. Uma Pesach shu echo mitaryag mitzvos. Mind you, the Korban Pesach, which is one of 613 mitzvos. Omra Torah, the Torah nevertheless says, V'chol ben lo yoichaboi. Kol ben nechor lo yoichabo. Anyone who's a ben nechor. And Rashi explains that ben nechor is someone who's a mumar, who's become wayward in his behavior toward the Almighty, who's abandoned the keeping of mitzvahs. So the with regard to one of 613 mitzvahs, you see that the Torah says that ben nechor, someone who has abandoned the Torah, is not to eat, not to partake of the Korban Pesach. HaTorah kulo kan Yisrael mumrim alachas kama v'kama. HaTorah kulo kan is a reference to the Ten Commandments that have the essence of all of the Torah, and the Jews were rebellious at that point, because we're referring to the smashing of the tablets at the time of the Egel, at the time of the Egel Hazov. So as a result of them worshipping the golden calf, Yisrael were classified as mumrim, as being violators, rebellious in their mitzvah observance. So here you have all of the Torah, and Yisrael are mumrim all the more so. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve the receiving of the Torah, the Ten Commandments. From where do we see that the Almighty agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu's conclusion? Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Asher shibarta." The Amar Eish Lakish, "Yasher kochachosh shibarta." Asher shibarta. The word "asher" is taken to mean "strength be unto you for having broken them." So the Kodesh Baruch Hu agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu's conclusion. Ta Shema. As you can see, the house form is pointing upwards. The point is facing upwards. This, as we mentioned already a few times, this is a question focused against Rabbi Yossi. The pasuk says, "V'hoyu nechonim liyom hashlishi," that you should be ready for receiving the Torah on the third day. So that would mean that the prisha was for 2 days. Kashya the Rabbi Yossi. This would present a problem for Rabbi Yossi, who had mentioned that prisha was 3 days. So the Gemara answers, "Ho amrinon," but it has already been said, "Yom echad hoisif Moshe midaito," that Moshe Rabbeinu extended a day through his own logic, as we learned earlier. Toshma, we have an inverted shape. The inverted house marking is an indication that we're now going to ask a question on the Rabbanan. There is a Tanaic source that says Shlishi, Shlishi b'chodesh, u'Shlishi b'Shabbos. This source is fairly abbreviated, but it mentions Shlishi would be Tuesday, and Tuesday being the third of the month. Actually, let's just back up a moment. In the source, at the end of the source, it says that the Shlishi b'Chodesh was also Shlishi b'Shabbos. The beginning of the source, the word Shlishi, the Gemara will deal with what is intended by that word, but you can see here that this source is saying that the third of the month is a Tuesday. If that be the case, the seventh of the month is a Shabbos. It comes out that Shabbos, which is the day the Torah was given, everyone agrees the Torah was given, comes out that it was on the 7th of Sivan. That is like Rabbi Yossi and unlike the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said that Shabbos would have been the 6th of the month. So Kashya the Rabbanan. This represents a problem for the Rabbanan's opinion. Amri loch Rabbanan. The Rabbanan would answer, "Ha money, this source is Rabbi Yossi he." This is a Tanaic source that's authored by Rabbi Yossi. But the opinion of the Rabbanan, as Rava presented it, has Shabbos coming out on the 6th of Sivan. As you can see, there's a bracketed section. It's a fairly long bracket. You can see we have a bracket length indicator, the vertical dash dotted line to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. And on the side where you notice a star, there's a note explaining it. But before we look at the note, right after the brackets, you'll notice another inverted house marking, whereby we'll continue the discussion with questions on the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi. The note indicates where the star appears in the margins. So, Graim Elu, V'haboy Machreim, that means these brackets, the bracketed section here, and the next bracketed section. That's Besof HaOmud, at the bottom line. Mu'adim, they are designed l'dilug, for skipping. Kidei lishmo al-retzef masu matan ha-sugya, in order to maintain a continuity in the give and take of the Gemara. Besocham, within the brackets, ha-Gemara mazbiro es ha-mokor shehuva lifneim. Gemara will explain the source that was brought in just before the brackets. Well, that having been said, let us now look into the bracketed section. Shlishi Lamai. The source had opened up the source 2 lines above this, it said Shlishi, which was Shlishi Bachodesh, which was the third of the month. But Shlishi, what is the first word referring to? The third of what? Answer, Lichidesanya. It will be explained by our learning the following Tanaic source. The Pasuk says, by in Shmois, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Ches, Vayoshev Moshe es Divrei Ha'om El Hashem. Uksiv, there's another Pasuk says, Vayaged Moshe es Divrei Ha'om El Hashem. In focusing on these two psukim, you see that Moshe Rabbeinu is communicating the words of the people to the Almighty. You see that in both of the psukim. We try to accentuate this with our dashed underline. We see Divrei Ha'om El Hashem. So you have in Pasuk Ches, Moshe Rabbeinu reporting back, so to speak, to the Almighty. And in Pasuk Ches, he's reporting back. But we don't see in the psukim what transpired between the Moshe Rabbeinu and the people, and the people back to Moshe Rabbeinu, which would, let's say, justify Moshe Rabbeinu's reporting to Hashem. So the Gemara asks, and we have little underlines under the word Ma. Each one of these is an additional question. Ma Omar Lo HaKodesh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. What did the Almighty say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Uma Omar Lohem Moshe LeYisrael. And what did Moshe, after having spoken to the Almighty, what did he say then to the Jewish people? Uma Omru Yisrael LeMoshe. And what did they say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Uma Heshiv Moshe LeFnei HaGvura. And then what did Moshe Rabbeinu then tell the Almighty? So what was going on here when being in these psukim, pasuk ches and pasuk tes? Answer, zu mitzvas hagbola. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. This is a reference to the mitzvah of staying away from the mountain when the Torah was being given. That's, we mentioned this earlier, hagbola. The Rashi points out on the second line under the Gemara text, Zu mitzvahs hagbola, shafa pi shiksuva achar mitzvahs prisha. If you look in the Chumash, you'll see that the mitzvah hagbola is stated after the mitzvah separating from husband and wife. Nevertheless, bishlishi ne'emro lo. It was the mitzvah of hagbola was told to Moshe Rabbeinu on the third. V'hutzrich lahashiv shekiblu aleim. Then he had to report back to the Kodesh Baruch Hu that they accepted that upon themselves, that the people accepted upon themselves the mitzvah of Hagbola. So from Rashi it would appear that b'shlishi namrolo, that's what the word shlishi at the beginning of the source was, that on the that the mitzvah of Hagbola was said on shlishi, which was the third of the month, which happened to be a Tuesday. We continue in the source. Rebbe Omer, Betchila, Rebbe is a second approach, and that's why we have him listed as a number two, where Rebbe explains his take on the psukim ches and test that we just mentioned. What was the give and take that we saw? So just before we go further, I think another point that's worth emphasizing is that the significance of Shlishi in the source was that the Mitzvah Hagbola, which is something that is going to take place only later, was said already on Tuesday, early point in time regarding this particular mitzvah. That's the significance of Shlishi mentioned in the source. We continue, Rebbe Omer, Betchila Piresh Oinsha, at the beginning, the Kodesh Baruch Hu has spelled out the punishment for violating the Torah, and that's in Pasuk Ches, Dichti, Vayoshev Moshe, which means Dvorim Shemeshavavim Daito Shel Odom. These are words or things that will suppress a person. Rashi says, Shemoinim Milikabel, that These are things that would we'll say maybe deter them from receiving the Torah. So when Moshe Rabbeinu told the people about the Oinsha Shel Torah, they said, "Hey, maybe it's not worth getting involved." Ulevesof Piresh Matan Schora, and then the reward of Torah was taught. Dichti Vayageid Moshe. That's Pasuk Tes. Tvarim Shem Moishchin Libo Shelodim Keagoda. The word Vayageid, like the word agoda. Agoda are sections of the Torah that are of a, we call an agadic nature, a story nature, things that draw people's interest. So it draws them to the Torah. So that's as a result of hearing the schar, the reward for observing Torah, they were drawn to the Torah. The ika di amri, another approach, an opposite approach. Bitchila Piresh Matan Schora. At first, they were informed of the reward of Torah. Tachtiv va Yoshev Moshe. Dvorim shemeshivin baita shel adam. Things that placate, that comfort a person. Hearing the rewards of Torah gives the people a sense of comfort. Ulbesof Piresh Oinsha. And then afterwards, he then explained the punishment for not observing the Torah. Tachtiv va Yageid Moshe. Dvorim shekoshin adam kigidim. Gidim is explained over here as a bitter type of herb. And by Yageid, you can see, reminds you of the word Gidin. So that's a reference to the bitterness aspect, the punishment aspect of Torah. So the two Lishonos of Rebbe deal with Psukim Ches and Tes, just the order of reward and punishment, how they were taught, in what order were they taught, is the point of difference between these two Lishonos, these two versions. As you can see, the bracketed section closes here, and we continue with the main sugya, the discussion of Shitos Reb Yossi and the Rabbanan as Rava had presented them. Toshma. So we have another source. It says Shishi, Shishi b'Chodesh, Shishi b'Shabbos. There is a source that mentions that the sixth of the month was also on a Friday. That would mean that Shabbos was on the 7th of the month. That would mean that Rosh Chodesh was established on Sunday. Well, Kashya L'Rabbonon, this is against the Rabbonon. The Gemara answers, Ha Nami Reb Yossi Hi. As far as Rava's presentation of the Shitos are concerned, the source we just read was a Tanaic source authored by the Rabbonon. But Reb Yossi would tell you that Shabbos itself was the sixth of the month, as opposed to, that is, Shabbos itself. Back up for clarity purposes. This source presented a problem for the Rabbanan, because Shishi B'Shabbos was the sixth of the month. That would make Shabbos the seventh of the month, which is against the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan had Shabbos as the sixth of the month. So Rava will answer, Honami Reb Yossi Hi. This source is in accordance with Reb Yossi. That would tell you that Shabbos was the seventh of the month. The brackets appear once again because here the Gemara is going to delve into what is the source referring to when it says Shishi at the beginning of the source. Shishi Lamai, the sixth of what? Rava Omar, first of two opinions, Rava says Lechaniyosan, that the sixth of the month, which was a Friday, happened to be also the sixth day since they encamped there at the site of Matan Torah. That's Rava Omar Lechaniyosan. Lechaniyosan has to do with their encamping. We're at the top of Omid Beis, Rav Acha Bar Yankiv Omar. It's the sixth Af, it's of Omar Lemasa'on, meaning even Lemasa'on. In other words, they had actually The day that they came to the Midbar Sinai is the day they started their travel from their previous station in a place called Rephidim. So that, according to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, they started their travel on that day as well, on that Sunday, the Sunday before this Friday that's referred to in the source. So according to Rava, though, they didn't necessarily start their trip on Sunday. They may have started their trip on Shabbos. Now, that may remind some of you of an interesting halachic problem. To be traveling on Shabbos will involve you going beyond a settled area. Being out on the road is going what's called beyond the tchum of Shabbos, beyond the Shabbos boundary. Shabbos boundary is a 2,000 amah around the community in which you spent your Shabbos. So according to Rav Acha, they could not have been traveling on Shabbos, as he indicates that the sixth day is a sixth day not just of their encampment, but also of their starting of that particular trip. Namely, they wouldn't have traveled on Shabbos. The Komiflugi, the Gemara continues on the second line from the top, the Komiflugi b'Shabbos demora, and the Machlokas Rav and Rav Acha concerns what were they commanded when they received the mitzvah of Shabbos in Mora. Mora was one of the earlier stations during their exodus from Mitzrayim. Dichtiv. It says in the Aseres HaDibros, referring to Shabbos, it says, Kasher Tzivcho Hashem Elokecho, that you are to keep the Shabbos as you were commanded, indicating that there had been some earlier command regarding Shabbos, so that Shabbos was commanded to the Jewish people before the Ten Commandments. The Omar Rav Yudah Omar Rav, Kasher Tzivcho B'mora, that the Pasuk of Kasher Tzivcho is a reference to the receipt of the mitzvah of Shabbos in Mora. Mor Sovar, A Shabbos Ifkod, At Chumin Lo Ifkod. Rabbo, who was the first opinion, he holds that they were commanded regarding Shabbos, that there is a halachic entity called Shabbos. However, regarding the detail of Tchumin, that they were not commanded. And therefore, as Rava had explained, they might very well have been traveling already from before, meaning from before that the Sunday at which they encamped. They were traveling on Shabbos. In other words, they didn't start their journey on Sunday, but could have started it even earlier, traveling on Shabbos, because Tchum was not a prohibition. Umor Savar Rav Acha Bar Yankev will tell you, Atchumin Nami Ifkud. They were commanded regarding the issue of tchum as well in Mora, so that in their travel, regarding their arrival on Sunday at Mount Sinai, they would not have started that trip the day before on Shabbos. They started it on Sunday and arrived both on Sunday, not having traveled on Shabbos. Continuing, you notice again an inverted house shape. So we know from our markings that this will be a kasha on the Rabbanan. Toshma, the source says Nisan, Shebo Yotsu Yisromi Mitzrayim, the month of Nisan, during the year, the time, the actual departure from Mitzrayim, Bar Bosor Shochtu Pischeim, on the 14th of that original Nisan, the original Nisan of the Exodus, the 14th day of the month, they slaughtered their Korban Pesach, Uchamisha Asor Yotsu, and on the 15th, they left Egypt. Ula Erev Loku Bechoros. We should actually read this source more accurately. There's a bracketed section we really should skip initially and read Mi Bo'erev Loku Bechoros, namely from the evening before the smiting of the firstborn, what we call Makas Bechoros. And the reason we have the brackets here is that the section in the brackets is linguistically not accurate, and that's what our little note on the side says, that betocha sagram elu vaboy machrem, within these brackets and the brackets that appear afterwards in the next source, behemshech haGemara, that means in the continuation of the Gemara, miuadim ledilug, they are designed for an initial skipping, kedei lishma retzef hakriya, in order to preserve the clear reading of the Gemara. Besocham muva tikun lashon, within the brackets, we have a correction of what was said. In other words, the Gemara points out the difficulty and the need to correct it. So let's go back just a line before. We say v'chamisha sar yotzu, on the 15th of Nisan they left Egypt, and we, if they're skipping the brackets, mibo erev loku b'choros, the night before had been makas b'choros. The brackets, in the brackets it says ula erev loku b'choros, which would sound like the evening after the 15th that was makas b'choros. So to that the Gemara responds, la erev salka daitach, you mean the night after the 15th? That's not true. Elo mibo erev loku b'choros, it was the night preceding the 15th that there was makas b'choros. The oiso hayom chamishi b'shabas hoya, and that day was the a Thursday. It was chamishi b'shabas. And now the Gemara proceeds to make a calculation, and our focus, of course, is the date regarding Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. The Torah was given in the month of Sivan. So we have to go from the month of Nisan, which was the actual Exodus. After that, there's the month of Iyar, and then the month of Sivan. And here we have a calculation. Midechamesar b'Nisan chamisha b'Shabbos, from the fact that the 15th of Nisan came out on a Thursday, Reish Yarchad Iyar, 2 weeks later, which is the beginning of the month of Iyar, would be on a Shabbos. That's Reish Yarcha D'Iyar Shabbata. It's pointed out that the month of Nisan is always a full month. That means the month of Nisan is a 30-day month. That would mean that the Rosh Chodesh is what would otherwise be the 31st, or the next day, the day following the 30th. So that if the 15th of the month is on a Thursday, that would mean that the first of the next month, being that Nisan was a 30-day month, the next month would begin on a Shabbos. And with that in mind, v'reish yachad Sivan, the first of the next month, of namely the month of Sivan, chad b'Shabbos, would come out on a Sunday. So Aleph Sivan is on Sunday, kashi l'Rabbanan. This is against the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan claimed, according to Rava, of course, that the month of Sivan began on a Monday. Amri Loch Rabbanan, the Rabbanan would answer, they would respond that this source is not a problem. Iyar Daihi Shasa, the month of Iyar of that year, of the year of Kabbalah Satorah, Abure Ibruha, was an extended month, so that everything is pushed a day ahead, so that instead of the first of Sivan coming out on a Sunday, it would have come out on a Monday, just like the Rabbanan. Toshma, again, Akasha on the Rabbanan. Toshma de lo Ibruah. Here, the Gemara wants to respond directly to what we answered a moment before, and that is that they did not extend Iyar. And here we have a source. Nisan, Shebo, Yotsu, Yisrael, Mimitzrayim. Nisan, of the year that the Jews left Egypt, Barbo sar shachatu pischeim, on the 14th they slaughtered their korban pesachs, b'chamisha asar yatsu, on the 15th they left. And again, you see the brackets, because that which is in the brackets is not an accurate lashon. It's mibo erev loku b'choros, the night before had been makas b'choros. Now let's go back over the bracketed section. The Gemara had mentioned, the source had mentioned, on the 15th they left Egypt, ula erev loku b'choros, and the following night was makas b'choros. Lo erev salka daitach, do you really mean that it's not true? It wasn't the night following the 15th. Elo ema, rather it should be stated, elo ema mi bo erev loku b'choros, from the night before had been makas b'choros. The oiso hayom, the 15th of Nisan chamishi b'Shabbos hoya. It was a Thursday. Hishlim Nisan v'ira iyor lios b'Shabbos. Nisan finished, completed, and Rosh Chodesh iyor fell out on a Shabbos. Choser iyor. Notice here we've dashed, underlined this. is an indication that ER was not extended. Chaser ER, ER was a 29-day month. The term chaser means it's missing. It's an indication of the length of the month. A chaser is a 29-day month, and a mole, or an iburuha, ibor, is a 30-day month. But here it says chaser ER, with that in mind, that ER was a chaser month, a 29-day month, realizing that Rosh Chodesh Iyar came out on a Shabbos, so if you have Rosh Chodesh coming out on a Shabbos and the month is a 29-day month, the Ira Sivan Yos Be'echad B'Shabbos, that means that Rosh Chodesh Sivan would come out on the first of the week on a Sunday. Kashil Rabbonan. This presents a challenge to Rabbonan. Once again, the Rabbonan said that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on a Monday. Here it says it was on a Sunday. So Rava will answer Ha Money Reb Yossi He. This Tanaic source that has no name in it is authored by Reb Yossi. But the Rabbonan will say as I present them, namely Rosh Chodesh Sivan on a Monday. Omar Rav Papa Ta Shma. Again, an inverted house, Akasha, that will be focused on the Rabbanan. It's maybe obvious to all you who are using the Shasos or the Mark Gemaras, but we'll say it anyway. We've been dashed underlining where the Gemara says the Kasha is on whom. In addition to the direction of the house marking, we also highlight on whom the question is. So we continue. Toshma vayisu me'elim vayavo kol aras ben Yisrael v'chulei b'chamishos sor yoyim l'chodesh hasheni. Pasuk describes their traveling in the desert, and on the 15th of the second month. Second month is a reference to Iyar. The first of the months is Nisan. Nisan is followed by Iyar. V'oisu hayoim Shabbos hoya, and it's pointed out that this pasuk is a reference to a Shabbos. So Chamishosor yoyim l'chodesh sheni is a Shabbos. Rashi gives more background to it, but for our purposes, we will take this at face value. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, "Uvoyker uriisem es kavoid Hashem, uksiv sheshes yomim tilketuhu." From these psukim, you can see that this was a Shabbos. The pasuk is describing the need to collect the mon during the 6 days of the week and not on Shabbos itself. The Rashi, he presents the background. If we look at the Rashi together, a few lines up in the Rashi, he says, "V'oysa yoyim Shabbos hoy shenem avoker yisem v'chulei, shenisramu bol bayom al amon." They complained that day regarding the mon, the special food that came from heaven that fed the Jews through the midbar. They complained to Moshe that he was going to kill the whole people in famine. In other words, they were complaining about the mon as not being sufficient food. The people had been complaining about not having food, and he guaranteed that he would bring them mon the next day. You have to conclude that the first falling of the mon was on a Sunday. And on the seventh day, since it started falling, which was a Shabbos, there won't be any mon. To focus on the main point, though, this calculation starts by saying that the 15th of Iyar was a Shabbos. The Gemara continues, "Umide chamesa b'Iyar Shabbato." From the fact that the 15th of the month was an Iyar, it would mean that the 29th of Iyar was also a Shabbos. Reish Yarcha de Sivan, the first of Sivan, would then be Chad B'Shabbos, would be on a Sunday. Kashya L'Rabbonan. This presents a difficulty to the Rabbonan. Amri Loch Rabbonan, the Rabbonan would answer, Iyar Dahi Shosa, Iburi Ibruha. Iyar of that year was extended. And it was therefore a 30-day Iyar, and therefore everything is pushed ahead one day, and Rosh Chodesh of Sivan would then be on a Monday, like the Rabbanan. Omale Rav Chavivi Michuzno, the Ravashi. Toshma, Here we have a unique marking, and we've addressed this uniqueness in our Mivneh heading on the side of the Gemara. The Toshma in this shape is a Kashya L'Travaya. What we try to do is combine the house marking in both directions, forming this geometric form. We will see a Kashya on both the Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan as Rava presented things. The Gemara continues, Vayhi b'chodesh rishon b'shana hashenis b'echad l'chodesh hukam ha-mishkan. This pasuk is a reference to the second year in the Midbar, so eventually we'll have to be working backwards in order to establish the kasha. But the pasuk here says that on the month of Nisan, the chodesh rishon, the first of that month, on the second year in the Midbar, the Mishkan was set up. Tana, and we have a Tanaic source, and you'll see a lot of underlining where the word Rishon is highlighted. Oso Hayom Notal Eser Ataros. That day, when the Mishkan was set up, took upon itself 10 crowns. In other words, it was prominent in 10 different aspects. We don't have brackets here, but if you skip to the Gemara at the end of the source, you'll notice after the source, the Gemara goes back to the calculation that we must focus on. But in the meantime, we have the source that has a lot of other information describing the first of Nisan, the day the Mishkan was set up. Rishon L'maisa Bracious. Well, it was the first of the week. That's a first. There's an aspect of firstness. Maisa Bracious means it's a reference to the beginning of creation. Rishon L'nisim. It was the first day that the heads of the tribes brought their sacrifices in dedication of the Mishkan. Rishon L'kahuna, the first of Nisan of the second year when they set up the Mishkan, was the first time that Kohanim served in the Mishkan. We can call the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan. Before that, the firstborn were assigned the role of the Kahuna. Rishon L'avoda, it's the first day that the standard avoda took place. Rashi explains, L'seder avoda sibur t'midi mushar kobanu shel truma salishka. The first day that the standard daily sacrifices were offered, along with other public sacrifices. Rishon L'iridas ho'esh. It's the first day that the heavenly fire came down to help in the burning of the sacrifices. Rishon l'achilas kochim. It's the first day regarding laws concerning the domain in which one is allowed to eat sacrifices. Prior to this, people could eat sacrificial meat wherever. B'chol mokim, as Rashi says. This upon the setting up of the Mishkan, sacrificial meat would be eaten only within within a designated area. Rishon l'shikun shchina. Rashi says l'shikun b'Yisrael shchina shors tosham. The divine presence dwelt there. Kedachti v'shachanti b'soicham, where the pasuk says, upon setting up the Mishkan, I will now dwell amongst you. B'chlal da'ad hashto lo shachan, implying that up till now, you didn't have this divine presence amongst Klal Yisrael. Rishon, the source goes on, levorech es Yisrael. It's the first day of the Birkas Kohanim, the duchanin, the priestly blessing. Rishon, the Easter habomos, first time that private altars were banned, were forbidden. Up till that point, people could have offered sacrifices on a private altar. Rishon l'chodoshim, it was the first of the months. In other words, when Aleph Nisan, the day the Mishkan was set up, was also the beginning of the first of the months. We count months starting with Nisan. Now, as we said earlier, we go back to the calculation. Umidareish yarcho de Nisan dahai shosa equals chad b'shabos, from the fact that Rosh Chodesh Nisan of that year, which is the second year, was on a Shabbos, we have a way of calculating backwards when Rosh Chodesh Nisan was of the first year, and the first year is what is significant for our discussion concerning the time of Matan Torah. So we conclude by working backwards the Ishtakeh. Ishtakeh means the previous year, that Rosh Chodesh Nisan was Bedalid B'Shabbos, would have had to come out on a Wednesday. Now, the reason for that is what's presented in the bracketed section. But for simplicity purposes, let's just skip the bracketed section initially. We are laying down as a matter of fact that since the Rosh Chodesh of the second year was on a Sunday, the previous year Rosh Chodesh, Nisan, was on a Wednesday. Have lei, skipping the brackets, have lei reish yarcha de iyar, the result of Rosh Chodesh of the previous year coming out on a Wednesday, then reish, that have lei reish yarcha de iyar Rosh Chodesh iyar mali shabbato, that would, it would then come out on a Friday. Simply by calculating the length of the month. If you know the first of Nisan came out on a Wednesday, you would know that the first of the next month of Iyar comes out on a Friday. And with that knowledge, for Reish Yarcha de Sivan Shabbata, it would come out then that the Rosh Chodesh Sivan comes out on a Shabbos. Notice how we dot underline Shabbata. This is really what we want to emphasize. Kashio bein the Rabbi Yossi bein the Rabbanan. This is unlike Rabbi Yossi, who had Rosh Chodesh Sivan coming out on a Sunday. And it's also unlike the Rabbanan, who had Rosh Chodesh Sivan coming out on a Monday. That's the question. Question on both. Let's go over the bracketed section. We said that if you know on a given year when a certain day, a date, falls out, we said that Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the second year was on a Sunday, we know that Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the previous year was on a Wednesday. How do you know that? So we read the brackets, Desanya, Acherim Omrim. The opinion of the Acherim is, Ein Bein Atzeres Latzeres. There is no gap between when holidays fall out from one year to the next, namely which day of the week, the Ein Bein Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah Elad Arba Yomim Bilvad. There is a gap of 4 days. So that if you, on any given year, in this case year one, if something comes out on a Wednesday, so that same date the next year will come out 4 days later, as we saw, that would mean that that same date would come out on a Sunday. And the reason for that is actually fairly simple, and according to the Achirim, that is, that a year is made up of a alternating full and non-full month. That means 29-30, 29-30. So if you follow that pattern, 29-30, 29-30, you'll get to a total of 354. 354 is divided by 7, with a remainder, 7 means divided by 7, which represents a week. So, if you have a block of 350 days, so the beginning of that block of time and the end is going to be on the same day. And if you say there's a remainder of 4, 354 is a remainder of 4, that pushes things ahead by 4 days. And the source goes on to say that v'im hoyis shana muberes, if it's a leap year, it means that's a year that we're going to add another Adar, and the Adar that we add is a 29-day month. 29 represents a number divided by 28, is divisible by 7, so that doesn't alter the timing of things. It's an even 4 weeks. But the extra, from 28 you go to 29, the extra day pushes things ahead one more day. So that's, based on Shitas Achirim, the Gemara was able to formulate the question. Based on Shitas Achirim, we realized that Rosh Chodesh Sivan would then come out on a Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh Sivan of the first year would have come out on a Shabbos. So the Gemara answers that as far as Rava's presentation of the Tanoim, Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, and we know this courtesy of Rashi, they don't hold from the Achirim. They don't hold that years are so fixed in this alternating fashion, that there are six Choser months and six Mole months in each month alternating. They don't hold that. The Rabbi Yossi Shiva Chaserin Ovud. According to Rabbi Yossi, they made seven Choser months. Now, by making seven Choser months, that changes the picture. And Rashi explains how it changes the picture. Shiva Chaserim Avud, and as a result of that, Velo Hoyu, then you're not dealing with a number of, you're not dealing with 354 days, but you're dealing with 353 days. Velo Hoyu Elo Shloisha Bein Pesach LePesach. That would then create a smaller gap between the day that Pesach fell out on the previous year. Hilkoch, the Ishtakeid Behei B'Shabbos. Therefore, if we know from the source that in the second year Rosh Chodesh had come out on a Sunday, that means the previous year Rosh Chodesh would have come out not on a Wednesday, but on a Thursday. So we're pushing things ahead one day, being that that's the case, so that if the previous calculation had Rosh Chodesh coming out on Shabbos, no, Rosh Chodesh comes out on a Sunday. We're pushing things ahead one day. And Rashi points out, "Veles lei d'achirim d'amri." They, Rabbi Yossi, doesn't hold from the achirim that says, "Ein ma'abrin vein mechastrin shum chodesh l'tzorech el yoylem echod molei vechod choser." Rabbi Yossi is a departure from the achirim that had a very rigid approach to the construction of a year. Likewise, at the top of Pei Ches Omer Aleph, the Rabbanon Shmoina Chaserim Ovid, according to the Rabbanon, who had the Rosh Chodesh Sivan coming out on a Monday, so that previous year, the first year then, was made up of eight Chaserim, which means a total of 352 days. So that if Rosh Chodesh Nisan if Rosh Chodesh would have of the second year came out on a Sunday, Rosh Chodesh of the previous year, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, would have come out on a Thursday, and then you make your calculation from Nisan through Iyar to Sivan, and you'll come out, like the Rabbanan said, being pushed 2 days ahead, Rosh Chodesh Sivan coming out on a Monday. We continue at the top line of Pei Ches Amud Aleph, Toshma. This is a Tanaic source that's introduced with the house shape facing upwards, so we know that this will be a kasha on Rava's presentation of Rabbi Yossi. The Sanya B'Seder Olam. It's taught in a Tanaic body of literature called Seder Olam, which features events and dates of things of a historical nature. And it teaches there, Nisan Shibo Yotsu Yisroel Mitzrayim, Nisan, the year the Jews left Egypt, Barboso Shochtu Pischein, on the 14th they slaughtered their Korban Pesach, B'chamisha Asar Yotsu, and on the 15th they left the Oiso Hayom Erev Shabbos Hoya. And the 15th of Nisan of the year they left Mitzrayim was on a Friday, Erev Shabbos. Now the calculation, Umidereish Yarcha de Nisan Erev Shabbos, from the fact that Rosh Chodesh Nisan was on a Friday, Reish Yarcha de Iyar, Chad B'Shaba, the first of Iyar would fall out on a Sunday. And with that in mind, the Sivan, the beginning of Sivan, betray B'Shaba, would come out on a Monday. Kashya de Rabbi Yossi, this is a problem for Rabbi Yossi, who had said that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on a Sunday. Omar Loch Rabbi Yossi, Rava will tell you that Rabbi Yossi would respond that Ha'amani Rabbanan hi. This source is in accordance with the sheet of the Rabbanan. But Rabbi Yossi will tell you, like I presented him, that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on a Sunday. Ta Shema, you can see we're up to the 10th attempt here to raise a question on Rava's presentation. The source begins, Rabbi Yossi Omer. It's interesting to note that this source is Rabbi Yossi. So it's going to be presented as a kasha on Rava's presentation of Rabbi Yossi. So we have a Tanaic source featuring Rabbi Yossi that says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, B'sheni, and the second of Sivan Olo Moshe V'Yorad, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai and came down, B'shlishi Olo V'Yorad, likewise on Tuesday, B'Revi. We have a bracketed section. Once again, that which is in the brackets is linguistically not clear. So we read the Gemara. B'Revi, skipping the brackets momentarily. B'Revi Ola V'Yorad, and on Wednesday he also went up and came down. Let's go over the bracketed section. After reading B'Shlishi Yorad, we read B'Dalid Yorad. On Wednesday he came down, V'Shuv Loi Ola, and then didn't go up. But this is hard to understand. Umei Achar Shelo Ola, Mehechon Yorad. If we don't see him going up, from where did he come down? You can't come down from something unless you went up. Ela, B'Revi Ola V'Yorad, on Wednesday he went up and came down. B'chamishi bono mizbeach, on Thursday he built an altar, v'ikriv olah of korban, and offered a sacrifice. B'shishi, on the 6th of Sivan, lo hoya lo p'nai, and on the 6th of Sivan he didn't have any time, indicating he was very preoccupied. My lav mishum Torah, is it not so that he was preoccupied with the receipt of the Torah? Well, that indicates that Torah was received on the 6th of Sivan. This is not like Rava's presentation of Rebbe Yossi. We saw Rava's presentation of Rebbe Yossi back on Pei Vav Amud Beis, and there Rava had us believing that the Rebbe Yossi's opinion is that the Torah was given on the 7th of Sivan. So, if you assume that B'shishi lo hoya lo p'nai is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu's being preoccupied with the receipt of the Torah, so then we have a problem for Rava's presentation of Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara answers. Lo p'nai referred to in this source is mishum toirach Shabbos, because of his being involved with preparing for Shabbos, which was obviously the next day. Dora shahu glilo ole de Rav Chisda. It was a person from the Golil region that expounded in the presence of Rav Chisda. Brich rachmona diyoiv urion Tlisoi, La'am Tlisoi, Al Yadei Tlisoi, Biyom Tlisoi, Biyarcha Tlisoi. Let's go over this Aramaic statement. It's Brich Rachmona, blessed be the Almighty, Diyoev Urion, that gave the Torah Tlisoi, that's made of three parts. It's a reference to the Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Uksuvim, the Chumash, the prophets, and the writings. So blessed be the Almighty who gave the three-part Torah, Le'am Tlisoi, to the nation made of three parts, that's Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Al Yedei Tlisoi, through Moshe Rabbeinu, was the third of the children of Amram and Yochevet, he followed Miriam and Aaron, Moshe being the third, Le'Bayom Tlisoi, on the third day after Prisha, 3 days after separating the couples one from the other, Biyachat Lisoi, in the third month, which is Sivan. Well, this statement of the Hahu Glilo would conform with whom? Keman, like whom is this? Answer, Kerabonan. This conforms to the approach of the Rabbonan. Just to clarify this last point, we said Biyom Tlisoi was the third day after Prisha. That means they had been separated, husband from wife, for 2 days, and the third day, namely following 2 days of separation, they received the Torah. That is like the Rabbonan, who held that there were 2 days of Prisha, and in contrast with Rabbi Yossi, who was of the opinion that there were 3 days of Prisha. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.